It was an odd, toy-like place, this upper balcony, a curious and whimsical wrought-iron afterthought in the design of that marmoreal station. Perched above a mural depicting the history of transportation, it seemed, in comparison to the heroic travelers throughout the ages who plodded and paddled and steamed and bounced in an eternal counterclockwise procession in the shadows beneath it, as if it were built to the proportions of a child. This balcony was also, as best I could tell, unconnected to the rest of the station. There were no stairways, no ladders, no elevators, no way at all, that I could see, for a person to get up there. But I had no other option. This was the last place to look, the last place where three might somehow be found. Besides, the Mr. Three, I remembered, had seemed a resourceful, athletic sort, exactly the type to regard the upper balcony as a challenge and scale its heights. In all likelihood, he was up there somewhere right now, leaning over the wrought iron railing, admiring the view, his climbing ropes coiled up neatly beside his backpack, while he smoked a celebratory cigarette, the smoke drifting domeward in thin, intertwining trails. And so, with steady, fierce concentration, pillar by rusty pillar and dark arched window by distant dark arched window, I moved my eyes slowly around that apparently unreachable place. Above the ox cart and the kayaked Eskimo, my eyes proceeded. Above the big-armed, grim-faced galley slaves. Above the peasants of various nations, trudging to market with their donkeys and their yaks and their llamas. Inch by inch, I moved around that balcony far above me, almost forgetting that I myself was still down on the main floor, almost losing myself in the mural's dream of motion. In its journey through all those journeys, going nowhere. But unlike all those painted figures, unlike even those lucky beneficiaries of progress, the sophisticated dining car passengers of the 1920s, who with confident, manicured fingers poured cups of tea from fragile but untrembling teapots as majestic scenery sped by, my slow-moving, frantic eyes were not frozen in transit, were engaged instead in a kind of travel where the destination can, in fact, be reached, must be reached, and despite my studied lack of rapidity was upon me all too soon, in what seemed like less time than it takes to forget the name of the face that you've just been introduced to. The journey was over. Their circuit completed. My eyes had returned to the place where they had started, to the wrought iron pillar above the ox cart's wheel.